Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We all know that military life can be difficult for servicemen and women and their families. New insight a little later in the program. But first, Vietnam and our two wars during this century have taken their toll on many fronts, not the least of which has been on the thousands of veterans returning with mental health issues, issues ranging from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, to depression, to social anxiety disorder, and beyond. A new supportive housing facility will soon be available for dozens of these vets in the Walnut Park neighborhood of St. Louis. It's called Oasis Residential at Emerson. With us to talk about it, partners in Oasis Residential at Emerson, Pastor Sherman Strong, himself a disabled Vietnam-era veteran with a long history of helping vets. Kendall Bruni of Anthem USA, his company provides housing and employment opportunities for veterans and their families. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Glad to be here.
Pastor Strong, I'm going to begin with you because, as we said before going on the air, you're not a stranger to this whole world of helping vets. Tell us about what you've been up to.
Well, I guess about 18, 19 years ago, I really started teaching at a facility, teaching the scriptures. And from there, I think 2 years later, became the owner-operator of that facility. And we've been doing it now probably about between 18, 19 years. And it has just progressed from mental illness on to receiving the vets. And as you kind of start receiving them, you get to know them and you get to kind of battling with the disadvantages that they face on an everyday basis. And it has brought us up to this point.
How many veterans have you been dealing with over the years?
Oh, that's going to be a vast number, but we have one facility that's 45 beds. It's an old veteran facility here in the city, and we have two other facilities, and I think I got maybe three or four vets in those areas. So probably about the last 17, 18 years we've been involved in the veteran health.
So what's going to be happening in Walnut Park is going to be an expansion for you?
Walnut Park is going to kind of help us in two or three areas. Number one, we're going to look forward to closing two of the facilities that we will have a better opportunity to serve their needs, et cetera, at the new facility. So what is happening there is we're close to facilities that we have now, which are smaller facilities, and we have some challenges there at those two buildings, you know, doing things that we need to do. So the new facility just give us such a grand opportunity to better serve those vets.
Let me turn to Kendall Bruni now and talk about Anthem USA's role in this whole veterans area.
Yeah, with Pastor and I have known each other. I was worked as an administrator at St. Louis Christian College, and he had sent many of his ministers to our school. And along the way, we were serving returning veterans using their GI Bill. And the vets that we have today are a much more mature vet. They're married. They have kids. So a traditional dormitory-style housing wasn't appropriate. And you really needed to care for the whole family, just not an individual person. And that's where I really kind of pulled in the pastors to say, we've got new families, and they have kids, and they need to have that foundation that that fellowship could provide. And so we actually bought a Catholic campus and turned that into some family housing. And that's really where the beginning started. It's about four blocks from the Emerson site. A pastor had called and said the Emerson building was available. What's nice about this site is, as it was Cardinal Ritter Preparatory College at one time, it has an Olympic swimming pool. It has two gymnasiums. It has on-site education and training for the children. Things that normally a smaller facility can't participate in. And if you're serving a younger veteran from the current wars, they need those things. Right. And they need the encouragement that I can go to college. So we're creating partnerships with the universities so that there is a path to the future. And then we're working with Walnut Park and with Alderman Carter to actually work at housing. So once they get through rehab, they're kids. There's nothing rehabs a man or a woman better than to be able to see their family. Mm-hmm. and they want to see those kids and they want to get back out to them. And there's a house. And I have had veterans that went to school with us, and 10 years later, they still don't own a house. So we want to help them then get to the house, make it accessible, and then they can get a job and employment in the area.
If I understand correctly, that what you'll be doing in Walnut Park is based on a model that is already in existence in North County. Is that correct? The Oasis model, have I got that right?
Well, we have bits and pieces. What's different about Emerson is Pastor and I'll be able to do everything in a one-stop shop. Right. So we're not going to reinvent the not-for-profits that are already serving. We'll just give them a place to do that in one place.
Right.
So it gives us a incubator, if you will, at this at 5341 Emerson. It's a great location.
And how many veterans, Pastor, will you be able to accommodate there?
At this location, we have a certificate of need from the state of Missouri for a 96-bed facility. And at this junction, we feel like it's going to cover quite a few veterans in those beds.
But the 96 beds, would that all include also include beds for family?
The family, as Dr. Bruni stated, we have housing in that area.
Oh, I see.
Separate from, I misunderstood that.
Yeah.
So it's really a community development plan.
Right.
So we're looking at and our goal was 3 houses a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that would give us 36 a year. And so it really is a much greater plan than just the Emerson site. The Emerson site, what's unique is they'll be able to help set up those continuing support services with the pool and physical therapy and occupational therapy and to work with outpatient mental health if that's their need. So that's even traumatic brain injury from concussions. Right. The depression is an issue. You know, and dealing with constant headaches is an issue. So how do you help that person continue on with their life?
How long would you anticipate that these individuals would be staying at the facility?
It'll probably be 3 to 6 months. And it could be – it depends on the individual and what their visible or invisible wounds are. Our goal is to help them quickly – and to get them to where there's training and education so they can get to employment quickly.
Are we talking, Pastor, only about people who have mental health issues here, or are we talking about other veterans who have physical needs?
It will control quite a few of those areas, with, you know, from the brain damage all the way to the mental illness. You know, once the assessment is done, it gets the next step is kind of separate, you know, from the injury, from the mental illness, to do what Brother Bruno is talking about doing. You have to see if he's going to be trainable. You have to see if we can fit him in this program or that program. And it's going to end up being that some of them will be long-term residents. You know, they just will not be able to do, you know, some of the things that we have assessed before some of the other ones that we'll do. So those assessments will take place from the medical perspective. Professionals.
Kendall Bruni, I know the families are going to be nearby, and everyone understands how important that is. Mm-hmm. But will the families be taking an active part in the therapy and the rehab, or will it just be available, if you will, in the area?
No, that's the beauty of having the pool. I mean, essentially, we want to open it to the community so that the kids can then swim with that parent that's at that facility. It's really to support the whole family. So we're going to create that. There's a lot of great organizations to collaborate. And at this site, we have 130,000 plus square feet that we can do that.
What about the funding for all of this? Clearly, it doesn't come without cost.
Right. Yeah, we have various funding buckets coming in. And we have for-profit as well as not-for-profits. And the beauty is I teach for University of North Texas as a adjunct faculty. And we have for 25 years with Future Without Poverty done this kind of component. What's nice is I'm doing it in my own backyard where I've always done it in other places. So we've got great resources in St. Louis.
Right.
Pastor, when I mentioned funding, you had a big smile on your face. I didn't know if that was because it's so easy or it's so difficult.
No, it's not easy. The one thing that, you know, having been involved in it in the last 17, 18 years, you kind of know that that's the challenge that you want to kind of have a hand on to be able to supply the, you know, treatments, et cetera, that's necessary. But after a while, you kind of get a hang of it. And believe it or not, the state is very accessible when you're dealing with these areas. So that part is somewhat stable. The other part we just have to deal with.
I am assuming that when you got started, the most of the vets you were dealing with were Vietnam-era vets.
Area vets, Vietnam.
Of course, a lot more have been coming home and coming home.
They're a lot different.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. How different and in what ways?
The one thing that was different, because I'm a Vietnam veteran myself, what I found out is the psychological problem that you have in the later conflicts plays a much bigger part, simply because there have been so much education in this later part. Say in probably the last 10, 12 years, I have to say that it has just been wonderful that this type of injury have been studied a lot more than it was when, say, for instance, when I was there. You simply didn't know that that person had that kind of a problem. Usually, if you didn't have any visible injuries, you really were kind of left for yourself because those studies were just not there. So now that we know that that trauma is there, it's better for us to serve it and probably isolate it from a lot of the things that's going on.
Which is precisely what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely.
I have to take a break now. I'll come back and continue this conversation. I'm talking with Pastor Sherman Strong and Kendall Bruni, partners in Oasis Residential at Emerson. It's a new facility that is being developed in Walnut Park for veterans, primarily veterans with mental health issues. Back to continue the conversation. If you'd like to come into it, please do at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on Air. Back in just a moment, this is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Welcome back as we continue our conversation with Pastor Sherman Strong and Kendall Bruni. They are partners in Oasis Residential at Emerson, a new facility that will be opening in the Walnut Park area to accommodate almost 100 veterans when it gets rolling. Kendall Bruni, what is the timeline for this?
Well, we're going through all the changes that are necessary for planning and zoning on this site, and also we're working through some boundary challenges, because this was once a big Catholic campus. Mm-hmm. And so as it's evolved over the years, we just have to get the boundaries set. And then the other aspect is creating all the partnerships and getting all the different not-for-profits that'll want to utilize this site and participate with us. So that's what we're doing now. So our goal is by the springtime we'll start development, and we should have it online by the end of the year. That's at least our goal.
Give me some sense of these partnerships that you're talking about and the kind of organizations. You may or may not want to mention names specifically, but the kinds of organizations that might be involved.
There'll be a support mechanism, so like heroescare.org will be in there to help us when somebody is coming just out of deployment or enlistment. So how do their skills translate? So we'll be working with the Veterans Employment Group so that they can say, how do I take the skills that I had in the military and how do I translate them into civilian life? We're working with the universities and their veteran service officers that help them get into schools and GI Bills. So this facility, the way it's laid out, it's had a lot of smaller classrooms or offices, and we'll be able to use that. And then some of the rehab providers that do provide services for veterans already, we're not going to work at trying to get a license for that component. Might as well work with them. So those are some of the – it's the jobs, it's the post-deployment, the counseling, and our goal is to provide that supportive housing and the environment to do that at one site.
The fact that this is being done privately, Pastor Strong, begs the question, does this mean that the government is not doing what it should to take care of these young men and women when they come home?
And to kind of be careful with words in this, it's a vast undertaking. It's, I sort of would like to say, it's hard to understand a veteran when you're not a veteran. And I'm under the impression that at some times, the person that sits behind the desk all the time doesn't necessarily know how to assess the need. And what has happened, I believe we have resolved quite a few issues in the last few years, as I stated earlier, that we now have more education as to how we deal with these different situations that they are presenting us as they come back home. And I do believe that at certain times we were just up against it, trying to do it, and not really understanding what needed to be done. We made tremendous strides, even in the areas that we deal with on a daily basis. You have to, it's like an on-the-job training. You have to really get in there and understand that the issue I dealt with yesterday with this particular individual, I'm dealing with a different issue today.
Hmm. Kendall Bruni, what do you think? I know this is a delicate subject, I'm sure, for you, given what you're doing and the people that you're dealing with. What do you think?
I think the government is more collaborative than it used to be.
Yes.
And so they're looking for those public-private partnerships, and that's really what we're doing at Emerson. And don't duplicate services that are out there, because there's some great not-for-profits. There's some great for-profits. Sure. And how do we create those partnerships? I mean, one of our strategic partners is like a Monsanto. Yeah, and a Boeing. We've got great corporate partners here in St. Louis, and they're looking to employ veterans, but they want to make sure that individuals have they had time to decompress. We have a very different military now. A lot of National Guard and reservists yes. are fighting. So it could be that Friday they're in Afghanistan and Monday they're back in St. Louis. That's hard to decompress.
And the next Friday they might be back in Afghanistan.
Absolutely. Right. And so that's a very different military force.
But I get the impression, this is a private-public enterprise that you've got going here, that if you weren't doing it, that the people that you're going to be helping would just be out there.
It's challenging to negotiate the weave. And I think that's why we have so many veterans that are struggling to find unemployment. And they call them the invisible homeless. They come home and they're still with mom and dad or their brother or sister or their friends on the couch. Well, they honestly, they don't have an apartment. They don't have a home, and they just need to. You know, I got a Purple Heart. Well, what good does that do me when I can't get a job or pay for myself? So you have to help them, and that's where I think I can introduce Pastor Strong. They start talking about their stories, and he shares that he was one of five, the only one that survived, and he's a Vietnam veteran. All of a sudden, all that melts away, and they can talk to him. And that's really where you're at now.
Well, veterans returning home today, Pastor Strong, are being received much differently were the gentlemen and ladies that served with you in Vietnam.
Yes.
Could you just talk about that for a moment? What do you see?
Well, you're glad for one, you know, you're very glad. As I stated earlier, you have to give it some thought. From a personal perspective, it can be taken the wrong way. But from the veteran's perspective, you're glad that our country have evolved to the point where the veterans are received with a much better mannerism, because now we have an opportunity to say, hey, this person actually needs our help. They've come home. And, I mean, when I came home, you just came home. Your family received you. Nobody else really was interested in receiving you. It didn't make any difference whether you had a badge on you or not. It just wasn't that way. But now they need to be celebrated in the way that they are celebrated. But we still have that area where those that can't get to that, there are some that are just hurt enough that just doesn't, you know, it doesn't do it for them. So that's because the need is there, and that's where we come in. But it's a much different situation.
And one of the reasons, Kendall, that it is different is because some of the injuries that these men and women come back with really don't present, if you will, until they've been back for a while.
That's true.
They might come back thinking everything's fine, and then something happens.
Yes, it's a very different war that we're fighting now. And so it could be something triggers it. you know, that they're in a parade and all of a sudden you got a whole rapid sounding and they think it's machine gun fire and it's not.
A car backfiring.
Backfiring. So, you know, it's an urban war and you go into a very densely populated area and you don't know who's friend and who's foe. Not that they didn't have that challenge in Vietnam, but it was a very different environment that they were fighting in. So,
in the Emerson facility, will women vets also be a part of this?
Yeah, probably not at Emerson. We're working on another site that'll just be women, and that's because there's a lot of challenges with sexual trauma and just in different issues related to the female veteran. And so that's why we've been challenged by the VA, actually, to say, we need another site. And so we're going to get the model done right, and we'll make improvements because there's always things that you find that you do differently. And then we're going to put it in another site.
You mentioned the model. This, I gather, is going to be a template for the expansion that you foresee.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have an existing template? Again, I'm looking at the places that you have in North County that we've talked about here. What have you learned from them that you can apply here?
Veterans are a great group of people, and having their families is even more beautiful. They don't need a handout. They need a hand up. So over at Queens and Thecla, we have another convent that was converted, and it houses 12. That we found out was just a drop in the bucket. And so what we learned from them is that they want to help the other neighbors. So next thing you know, they're working with rebuilding together and they're helping with houses. And that changes the neighborhood. That people fall in love with them. And that's what we found. That there just needed to be more sites.
Well, clearly there's a tremendous need. Pastor, how do they find you? How do they know you're there and come on in and take advantage of what you have to offer?
Well, we have collaboration with all of the hospitals. I do a tremendous working relationship with the VA hospital, all of them. I won't doubt how many people I have at the VA at this moment, either coming or going. And then we do quite a bit of work with – we're connected with pretty much all of the hospitals that is – and then, you know, the caseworkers, they get to know that you're there. And they get to know what type of service you render. So when that person has a caseworker and they fit, you know, the type of situation that we deal with, we're constantly getting calls from caseworkers.
Let me just take a moment to remind our audience that you're listening to St. Louis on the Air. Kendall, to you, with regard to the new facility, how are they going to find you?
Well, we're actually going to have a PR firm that's going to help push, because that was one of the questions, even with the Hope Center, is how do you market? We don't have the knowledge. And I said, well, we're full. I mean, it's like we've got such a referral network from pastors and hospital case managers that we need to really just have more buildings. And then we needed houses, because that's the next step. They needed to have a site for their family. So we're expanding as fast as we can, and as you said, where's the money coming from? How do we get the correct money? And the city's been wonderful to work with, and we're just trying to put and fill as many buckets as we can.
Are any federal dollars coming into this?
No, we hadn't planned any federal dollars. We wouldn't turn any down.
Not at this time.
Again, that surprises me. I would think that with something like this, that would certainly be a part of it.
Yeah, we don't want to complicate with lots of extra red tape. That's why, Pastor, we're working privately to push this through.
Yeah. We talk about the job training and that sort of thing. You'll be working with universities, I guess, community colleges and what have you. What about job placement? I mean, in this economy today, there are so many jobs out there there are so many fewer jobs out there, and unemployment is a huge problem. How do you deal with that?
Unemployment with the younger veteran is a major issue. It's like up to 28% unemployed. So part of what you do, instead of just handing a cup and saying, fill it up with what you want, my adage is always, let's give a trained person and get them to a job specific and then get them placed in that job. We did it with the Ministry Advancement Program, and so we can do it in this site as well. So I've got veterans calling me and emailing me every week, I need a job, here's my skill sets. And I'm not an employment agency.
Right. Are all of the people that you'll be dealing with going to be local, or are they going to be drawn from other parts of the country as well, do you think?
Well, what we've experienced, because we have a River Trace Townhomes, an apartment complex that we have been very veteran-friendly, and we have them coming from Oregon, from Washington, from Virginia, from Tennessee, and it's all been word of mouth. They veteran family buddy, and next thing you know, we've got them coming in. So this will be a destination place. That's our goal.
Yes.
What is the biggest challenge in all of this? What do you see as the biggest challenge?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, you know, the financial, being able to have it in place. The other things we've kind of been doing long enough that we, you know, we know we're still on the job training type thing, but we have the collaboration from quite a few partners who have just stepped up and said, okay, we like what you're doing. You know, how do we fit in? And with that, it's just being at the table and saying, okay, this will work in this area. This, you know, won't work in this area. It's been as well as a challenging issue, it's been a very rewarding issue to get it even this far.
I'll bet it is. And Kendall, from your perspective?
I think it's creating a supporting environment where all the partners feel comfortable with the collaboration. And my strength is helping bring together the grant writers that can work with each individual entity, because a lot of the smaller not-for-profits don't have grant writers.
Do you have a website where folks who are interested in learning more?
Sure. If you do anthemusa.com, you'll get to that site, or rivertracetownhomes.com. You'll do there our Future Without Poverty, fwop.org.
All righty. Well, we'll put all of those sites on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Reverend Sherman Strong, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck in this project. And Kendall Bruni, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck to you, too, at the new Emerson Project. Coming up, we'll get some new insight into what life is like for military families, that is, with a columnist who knows that life firsthand. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.